Cyberbullying, sexting, pins, tweeting, gaming, do you know what all of these words mean? And do you know how they might affect the safety of your family? Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Lori Nathan with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Thank you, Lori, for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Sonia.
Children between the ages of 8 and 18 spend a whopping 7 hours or more every day online. Today, we'll discuss what it means for children and parents today to be connected online. From social media websites to mobile devices, we'll cover the basics of keeping our families safer and smarter on the internet. So, Lori, lots of parents are overwhelmed by this technology that their kids have access to. What are some of the popular technologies we're talking about?
Sure. And I'm sure most of the parents we're talking to are probably familiar with a lot of these technologies. Maybe they're using them themselves, which will help. And I actually encourage that parents who haven't gotten on some of these technologies or haven't used them before do become comfortable and familiar with them. Things like social networking sites, which would primarily be Facebook these days, which again, I encourage parents to get on that website. YouTube, which is a video sharing or video streaming site. Cell phones, gaming devices, video chat like Skype are all some of the technologies that are being used. As you noticed, I did not mention email. From a recent study, they showed that about 6% of teens between 12 to 17 send emails daily. So very reduced number. So if you're trying to contact your children or grandchildren via email, you may want to try another means.
Already obsolete.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's start with the internet, which provides direct access to some of these channels. What are some of the risks?
Cyberbullying is one of the major risks that we'll talk about a little bit later, but that is really exactly what it sounds like, bullying plus technology. We also have concerns like revealing too much information online, where kids are putting their cell phone numbers and just a lot of personal information up about themselves, especially on places like Facebook. We also know that online predation, or this process of grooming, where an online predator tries to meet with a child offline, is also a huge concern to a lot of parents. Although the numbers are fairly low, it is definitely a concern. And then inappropriate content. A lot of parents are concerned that their children, especially younger children, are coming across images of adult pornography and just all sorts of content. A lot of the video sharing sites have videos of teens who are doing some illegal behaviors and making bombs and things like that, that obviously are not good for our younger children to be seeing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Facebook, so let's dive right in there. I think a lot of parents struggle with at what age do I allow my child to have a Facebook and how do I sort of monitor that? So what strategies do you suggest parents take?
Sure. Well, first of all, there is actually an age requirement. It's technically 13. We do know, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, there are about 7.5 million children who are actually on that website under the age of 13 and either using fake ages or their parents are actually signing them up or helping them to sign up. So that's something to definitely consider. So we would say, again, follow the age level that is given based on Facebook, what they set. And then after that, it's a lot of how does your family feel about your child being on Facebook? Maturity level of your child is very important. Do you think your child is ready for that responsibility of determining what information they should or shouldn't put up online? And then, of course, once if you decide to let your child have a Facebook page, is to monitor. And there are a couple of ways that you can go about that. We encourage parents to friend their children if possible. We know that that is not always feasible. A lot of children don't want their parents friending them. And we do say that if you do friend your children, to limit your comments that you make on their Facebook page, maybe just be an observer as opposed to someone who makes comments. Or if they don't want you to be a Facebook friend, to have another relative would be, you know, maybe an older cousin or someone who could be on the lookout for information that your child is putting online that maybe shouldn't be out there, and then can report back to you. We also say that it's important to monitor by having your child show you their photos before they post them on Facebook, or post or let you know what kind of information they're putting on their Facebook page before they do so. So those are a couple of techniques. Again, we encourage that if you're signing up with your child to, again, have these conversations in advance of that process so that they know what the rules and what the expectations are early on, and that they're going to then abide by those.
So like a lot of scary parenting challenges, I think there's a tendency to want to put our kids in a closet or sort of literally, not literally, but figuratively. And to some extent, once you get to the point that you know they're going to be interacting this way, it may be better to do it sort of above board where we can talk about it and have some level of monitoring exactly. rather than risk your children doing it sort of on the sly where you have no influence, I guess.
Exactly. We would agree with that, definitely. Communication.
Let's talk about the concern about whether there can be a disconnect for kids between reality and what they sort of live online.
Sure. Well, we say actually in this day, kids' lives are fully connected to their online lives. So there really is no disconnect. Their reality is online. They cannot live without that component. I know that sounds a little exaggerated, but it is true to some extent. And so they don't necessarily see their lives as separate. But there are some aspects of the internet that do foster a sense of disconnect. And some of that would be the anonymity. And we do know that kids sometimes feel like without that face-to-face contact, without maybe if their information, their screen name or email address is not known, maybe they're allowed to say things more freely that they wouldn't necessarily say in their everyday world. So we do need teens to be a little more careful and thinking about, this is my everyday world. What I put online will affect my everyday world as well. So being aware of that is important.
Great point. If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Lori Nathan from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So you mentioned cyberbullying when we started, so I definitely want to make sure we take a few minutes to talk about what it is and some tips for handling cyberbullying.
Sure. Well, cyberbullying, as I mentioned earlier, is exactly what it sounds like. It's bullying plus technology. So back in the day, there would be a fight on a schoolyard or at recess, and you would have people who would witness it, maybe 20, 25 people, and then about a week later, the fight would be forgotten. Well, today, inevitably, someone has a cell phone that has video and camera capabilities. They're able to videotape the fight that occurs. They then send that along to all of their friends and classmates. And then sometimes it does get posted to places like YouTube or other video streaming, video sharing sites. So it does have a lot more of that detrimental component of it being seen by a much larger, wider audience. And it can travel so very quickly. So kids can't really escape the cyberbullying like they could bullying. They feel the bullying at school oftentimes, and then they're facing it at home through their computers, through their cell phones, through gaming devices and other ways. So it's pretty
some
hard.
Re-traumatizing and exactly. A little bit more of a permanency.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, obviously, as you mentioned, kids are online, and in fact, many times their homework requires them to go online. So it is part of our reality. What are some tips for keeping our family information secure and making the online experience safer?
Sure. Well, there are obviously technological solutions. And if you have an internet service provider, a Comcast, a Cox, a Verizon, they all have a lot of parental guidelines that you can actually use on your home computers that are free. So they will allow you to block certain sites, to limit screen time, all sorts of things. So I highly encourage you as a parent to look into those various available technologies. You can also purchase other monitoring technologies if you'd like, if you're more concerned about what your child is doing online. As I mentioned earlier, communication is key, and I can't stress that enough, that having those regular conversations with your child about what they're doing online, who they're talking to, how long they're online is very important. And we really encourage those conversations at an early age. So even though parents say, oh, well, my child is only 6 years old and is only online when I'm around, starting those conversations at that point makes it a lot easier to parent about online use when your child is in middle school or high school age. So making sure that you have those conversations regularly is really key. And of course, setting the rules and making sure that your children understand what those expectations are of their online use.
And I know your organization provides a lot of support online for parents. Do you want to share a website?
Sure. NetSmarts with a Z.org is a website of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and it provides free internet safety information. And I know we had talked about cyberbullying, and there are certainly tips that parents should know about those issues, as well as some of the other topics we discussed. They can find all of that information for free on our website.
Great. I think a lot of parents also worry about the loss of personal interaction that happens when kids say they're talking to their friend, but really they're just texting back and forth. And is that really the same thing?
Sure. That's definitely an important topic and one that's debated a lot, actually, by researchers. It's a different kind of interaction. So it's not necessarily better or worse, but it's different. We know that a lot of communication is nonverbal. So not having that face-to-face could potentially be an issue. But we know that a lot of the connections that are happening between teens especially is it may be to their peers. So they see their peers on a regular basis anyway, and then they may have continued conversation over texting, over Facebook, other means that are online. So it's not necessarily limiting that face-to-face interaction. We also know that there are some positive ways that parents are interacting with their kids through these means. In fact, they're doing a lot more texting with their children, having a lot more regular contact with their kids during the day. So that's actually could be a positive as well. And it also allows teens to connect with family that may be far away, maybe overseas or serving our country. And so there may be other ways that this technology allows them to have more of that connection rather than less. But there really is a huge debate about that. I know a lot of parents are concerned that their kids are always going to be texting and sitting at the dinner table with their cell phones in their hands. And so I would encourage parents to, again, set those ground rules that dinner time or whatever, maybe it's breakfast, are times where the cell phone is put away and there's no texting or communicating through technological means.
So important to realize that technology itself is neither good nor bad, but that we want to be sure that we understand how it's being used and set some boundaries and try to use it for the good and avoid as much of the bad as we can.
Exactly.
We have just about a minute left. Was there anything else you wanted to be sure to share with parents who are listening today?
Sure. Well, I know one of the things that you had asked about were the idea that parents and adults also need to be mindful of these rules. And I think it's very important that adults model good behavior for their kids as well, picking appropriate email addresses, screen names, not sending inappropriate images, those kinds of things. We don't want to have a redo of Anthony Weiner and all of his revealing too much information online. Those are kinds of situations that obviously adults can get into as well and are not, again, good role models for our teens who could be engaging in sexting and other behaviors like that.
Great point. Thank you, Lori, for joining us this morning. Technology is changing every day. It's fast, exciting, and overwhelming at times for us and our kids, and it can be dangerous. Take the time to understand the gadgets and websites your kids are using and teach them and continue to talk to them about privacy, respect, and safety online. If you're open about their use as well as your own, you can work together to keep your whole family safer. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Lori Nathan for joining me to talk about this very important topic. Remember, every child and family matters. We all play a critical role in our communities, and we can help our families thrive. For information about being a tech-savvy parent and other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.